Good morning. My name is Morgan Emby, and our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you've ever had an infection. You've ever had a virus that spread so fast, both in your body and spread to somebody else's body. I wonder if you've ever had something and you just wish it would go away and not keep spreading. Yeah, a virus, like maybe like COVID-19. I have an infection. I have a virus that I want you to catch. I have something within me that wants you to spread virally. My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm excited to come to the end of our series on invitation, a place to begin. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about how Christ is inviting us always into relationship with him. He is never nagging us or bashing us over the head with the Bible, telling us that we should do something that we don't want to do. He's always inviting. We had Brian Russell come out. That's what this is based on, his book, Invitation, and we'll continue to study that on Wednesday. He talked about how we all have a GPS system as people who follow Jesus. We have a mission, we have community, and we have holiness. And there are always our three chief desires keeping us on track. The week after that, we talk about the image of God and how each and every one of us has the image of God on us. And then last week, we talked about God's mission from the very beginning, from Exodus, and how God's mission was always to woo us into a relationship with him. This week, we are talking about our mission. What is our mission? Now that we know that we're created in the image of God, now that we know God's mission is for us to join in a relationship with him, what is our mission? How are we to be in this world? How are we to be a virus? How are we to infect people? What is it that people are going to catch virally from us without us even knowing? A virus is a small, sub-microscopic organism that attaches onto other cells, and it uses the other things inside of that cell to multiply, to regenerate, and then those things inside that cell go out from there and latch onto other organisms and latch onto them and do the same thing again and multiply and spread faster than COVID-19. And we learn in our time wondering how we get COVID-19, whether we thought it was touching the surfaces, where we thought it was opening handles. Remember all that? We're like touching things. Oh no, am I going to get it? You know, what am I going to do? Let's shake hands with our feet and all this kind of thing. We actually realized that the way you get COVID-19 is through simply what is it that you are spreading virally? What is it that you are infecting people with? What are people catching virally? There's another kind of virus as well where you, so we have the bodily virus that multiplies in organisms, and then we have the other kind of virus which you all dread getting on your personal computer, your tablet, and on our smartphone, right? And somebody sends you that text or that message and you click on it with your finger or you click it with your mouse, and all of a sudden it drains out your entire system, gets your passwords, tells you you don't belong on this computer anymore. And these are bad viruses. These are bad bugs. And then there's other things. So there's the human virus or the bodily virus. There's the virus we get from computers that want to take all that information. And then there's another thing that we get virally. And these are the things that we pick up without even knowing it. Some of these things are good. Some of these things are great. In fact, 2005, there was this little couple of people that put together this thing called YouTube. You might have heard of it. And then 2008, it decided that YouTube was going to be like a main conveyor of how we get information. And in 2011, they put out this, anybody could upload videos to this YouTube platform, and they can go around virally. And then every one of us were allowed to see cat videos we'd never seen before. You might remember this one. This one is the one that went around virally, and you can tell me after it whether you'd ever seen it or not, whether you just picked this up as you went along. Pay attention to your screen.
Food. You know, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went to the fridge, and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yes.
Who remembers that video? Yeah, somewhere, yeah. And that was a good thing to catch virally, right? That was a good thing. And it's still popular now. In fact, you're still laughing at something you've been watching for 10 years. And we catch these things virally. I mean, so much so that my son and I, my youngest son, David, when we're talking about food, we still say things like, what? The maple can? Yeah, we want that. And you caught this thing virally. We know this thing because each of us shared it with each other. Hey, you gotta watch this, it's hilarious. What is it that people are catching from you? What is it that you are infecting people with? What is the virus that you are spreading? When you walk into the room and you join a conversation, you're with people that you've never met before, what are you breathing on them? What is it that comes out of your mouth that when you've left the room, when you've left the conversation, people say, oh, that's Keith, that's what he does, that's what he says, that's what he always transmits. What is it that drives your virus? What is it that drives this thing that you want to encounter people with? Saul, the biblical character who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was an infection in the community. Virally, people were getting up that he was a hard nose and he wanted everybody to follow the law. and he was scrupulous and insistent on them following the 613 laws that Jews had put together. And he climbed the ladder. He climbed the clerical ladder to the top. He'd obeyed them all, and he was zealous to make sure everybody else obeyed them too. So much so that when he walked in the room, when he walked into your village, people were scared. Oh no, here comes Saul. He's going to make us do something. Not only was he like that to his own people, to the Jews, he was also like that to those who were following the way, following Jesus. Jesus was an infection to Paul. Not in the right way in the beginning. Jesus was somebody that Saul wanted to get rid of, and he persecuted those people who followed the way. He infected people with fear. He infected people in the communities with a weariness of following the law. The law was set up so that people could get closer to God, and now Saul was using it as a weapon to get people to do what he thought was right. And now when Jesus was first talking to the Pharisees, when he was in amongst them in his earthly ministry, he noticed that the Pharisees were constantly using the law as a weapon, and weaponizing the law to make sure people followed him. And here's what Jesus had to say to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. This is in Matthew 23, verse 15. "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are." You're infecting people with the wrong thing, says Jesus. You're infecting people and causing people hurt by weaponizing the very law that's meant to woo people into a relationship with God. Rome thought Saul was an infection. Rome thought that Saul was a virus that was spreading wrongly. They also thought that Jesus was an infection in the community that was just messing up their system. And then Saul changed his mission. Saul had an encounter with God, and he changed his mission, and it became the submicroscopic particle that was going to change communities by having a living encounter with God. His whole mission turned around, and he went literally from persecuting people of the way to wooing people into being people of the way. How did that happen? How did you go from being a bad virus, like the one that we all don't like to talk about, to going from a good virus to, like, I don't know, like the dog video? How does that happen? Only an encounter with the living God can this happen. Saul's life transforms. And he transforms to be this virus that spreads for good. And he infects communities. He infects communities with the gospel. And this can be seen in our reading today that Morgan read to us in Corinthians. We're going to go there. We're going to display it on the screen. But if you've got your Bible with you, now's a good time to look it up. You can read it on the front of your bulletin too. It's the first letter to Corinth. Very important community in the middle of Greece. This community was super multinational. And in this community, Paul says these things. This is chapter 9, verse 19. 9 through 19. 9:19. He says, "Even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ." Don't forget, this is the same guy, Saul, that flipped his mission now into leading people. He says, "Even though I am free," and the people he was talking to in Corinth, two-thirds of them would have been slaves to something. They would have been enslaved. And slavery was really popular then. But Paul was a free man, and he used the words of the day. In fact, that word there is doulos, which can mean servant or slave, and can get mixed up in there what it means. But he says, I am a servant to all of those that haven't encountered Christ yet. I am a slave to people. I use my freedom so that I might be a slave to those who haven't encountered Christ yet. Now, he says Christ here in this verse, and just in the four verses that we are going to study, he mentions Christ six times. So it's clear something massive has happened in this man's life. He says, I have become a slave to all people, to win, to bring many to Christ. Verse 20, he says, when I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under the law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. Imagine being Paul going back to the Jews. This is post-transformation. Imagine being Saul going back to a Jewish community where you grow up in. And now you're telling them, hey, the guy I used to persecute, I'm not doing it anymore. In fact, I want you guys to encounter that too. He probably wore the same clothes, his priestly robes. He probably spoke academically because he was speaking to his Jewish cohorts. He spoke like one of the Sanhedrin because he was chief of the Sanhedrin, and probably spoke their language and walked their walk, talked their talk, and said to them, hey, by the way, I would love for you to follow Jesus too. I bet he didn't say, hey, you guys don't get it. I bet he wasn't condemnational. I bet he didn't make people feel shameful. I bet he didn't make them feel guilty because they weren't following the way. He says, I become what? Like a Jew. I became like a Jew so that I might win some. It's not always easy. People don't jump right over as soon as you mention Christ. He says, I was in and amongst that community like a Jew, even though I wasn't a Jew anymore. In fact, not only did I live above the 613 laws, I now lived for Christ. And that is the major mission of my life. That's what I want to infect people with. That's what I want to make my one goal of my life. This is the virus I want to spread. Verse 21, he says, when I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. So, same mission, different people. He's gone from Jews and Gentiles, major tribes of the day, major differences. So, the same mission, different people. The same mission, different people. And he becomes like a Gentile. I bet he doesn't say, oh, you guys don't have the Old Testament. You guys don't have the Tanakh. You guys, oh, I feel bad for you. You don't go to the temple. You've never been to the temple. Oh, you're not included in the original scriptures. Oh, and I'm sorry, you've never attended any public worship? I'm sure he didn't say that. I'm sure he was inviting and wooing and helping people to understand that actually this message is for you. And he lived like a Gentile, and he lived apart from the Jewish law. And he said that some Gentiles may know what it is to follow Christ. That means that no matter which country these people were from, no matter what tribe they're from, no matter what political division that they were from, no matter what background, no matter what a family shame, family guilt that they had, all could come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All could come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And he said, I've become like Gentiles. I've become like Jews. I've become like people from all the way down in Largo to all the way up in Tarpon Springs. I have become like those people so that I might win them to Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 22, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find what? Common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. With the weak, he's become weak. With those who need a special healing, whether it be in the mind, whether it be in the relationship, whether it mean actually physically or whatever's going on inside those cells in the bodies that sometimes get attacked, I've become weak. I've become like them. And so that they might encounter God. So no matter what background they're from, no matter what country they are from, no matter what language they speak, Bob Tuttle was a world evangelism professor in Asbury Theological Seminary, and he wrote a book called World Evangelism. And in that book, he, in his many travels around the world, he talks about what are the main components that you can talk about to anybody as an inroad, as an opportunity to talk to people about Christ. Two main things you can talk to anybody about, no matter what language, what country they live in: family and food. The maple kind. Family and food. No matter where you are in the entire world, you can talk to people about these two things. And that is immediately a connection point and can help people understand the resurrection power of Christ because you care about them. This is the virus I want you to spread. This is the infection that I want to invite you to spread. Yes, I want you to infect people. I want you to breathe on them. Not literally, it's weird. You don't go around breathing on people, but when you're in the room with them, what are you breathing on them? What are they receiving from you? What is the thing that they're catching that they will pass around violently, that you'll talk about in the coffee shop, that when you meet them in Publix later on, you'll talk about that too? What is it virally that people are catching when they meet you? I want to invite you to your mission. If it can turn Paul around, it can turn anybody around. Yeah, it could be messy. It could be a little funky in amongst what you're doing. But I want you to be a sub-microscopic agent in your community. I want you to be a sub-microscopic agent of the gospel. Those of you following Jesus, the gospel is residing in your heart. And you don't go around condescendingly telling people what they're doing wrong. You don't go around judging people if what they're doing wrong. That never works anyway, right? Oh, I didn't see you there. We invite them. We woo them. Come and see what's going on in my life. If it's good news for you, then it's got to be good news for them too. Amen. There's a virus that continues to spread in a little town in Kentucky called Wilmore. It's still going on. The fresh awakening, the spiritual renewal, or a revival, whatever you want to call it, 10,000 people have descended upon a little town in Wilmore with a population of 6,000 people. And people have come from everywhere to make sure that this event can continue to be fostered. People are in the community with food trucks and spare toilets and spare bathrooms. The Salvation Army are there giving out clothes to those who are cold because it's freezing there. They don't live stream it because they want the presence of God to be felt by those who visit. They're allowed to video testimony. By the way, this event has gone over that football game that we watch every year on the Sunday after church. Instead of being at the Super Bowl, students were gathered here at this particular event in Wilmore. And on Tuesday, a young man, Brendan, stands up to speak. Now, Tuesday evening, as some of you know, was Valentine's Day. And he actually had a booking in a restaurant with his new girlfriend. And they asked him to speak that night. Guess where he went? To speak at the chapel, in Hughes Chapel at Asbury. And he said, I don't know why I'm going to stay here. I don't know why I'm here. But I was invited to share my testimony. And he says that church grew up in was not like this. It wasn't something that I could put my hand on, he says. It wasn't devoted like this. Whilst this was going on, he was talking about the six-day event that was still going on. I was angry. I was on the soccer field playing soccer, he says. And I was angry with what was going on. I was prideful. My pride went before God instead of me being happy that people were here. And Mike and Shara from out of town came to speak to him. And they said to him, here's a Subway gift card. Thanks for hosting us. How can we pray? Those who have descended on the community have been giving gifts out to those who go to Asbury. And he said to them, how can we pray for you? He says, my mom's been having a hard time at work. Would you pray for her? And they pray for him and her. And he called his mom and says, Mom, that they prayed for you. And mom started crying on the phone because it was one of her worst weeks ever that she'd experienced. He said in his testimony, he said, I am blessed by God. I didn't think things happened like this anymore. I didn't think things happened like this, and I thought God didn't speak to his people. But God is alive, and he speaks to his people. God is so close, and he sees you. Despite pride, anger, cynicism, God sees you. That was his big testimony. God sees me. He's 19 years old. See, Brendan understood that God sees him. That those two people who give him a Subway gift card, I don't know how much it was for, but it was enough for him to decide to want to encounter God. Paul understood this too, that he might win some, both Jews and Gentiles, to Christ. That he might win some people to understand who Christ is. And maybe you need refreshing of what that message is for you. Maybe you need refreshing of what it is that you need to infect people with, what your mission is. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward right now in order for us to encounter God in a place where it is open for you to encountering God. What is it that you want to infect people with? What is the virus that you want to spread? I want to invite you to your mission. I want, if you've never had a chance to think about how much God means to you, how much God means to young Brendan in Kentucky, a million miles away, I want you to come down the front and spend a moment in prayer, or spend a long time in prayer. I don't care. Somebody else will tell me not to say that, but come down the front and ask this one question of God. God, what is my mission? More specific, God, who is my mission. Show me that one person might come to know Christ through you, that some might come to Christ through you. Our prayer team have started praying down here already. They're praying that our mission would be to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Justin's going to sing. We're gonna sing together. And join him. Come down the front to be prayed for. Come down the front to understand your mission once again. And pray this one prayer. God, who is my mission?